This Dharma talk was given to the Clearway Zen Sangha by Lotus Vu. This talk is made available free of charge. More information about Clearway Zen can be found at www.clearwayzen.ca.
Not born, not die, that is nirvana. Being still in attachment. It's called a holding vessel of the Buddha. Being out of all attachment. It's called a pure Dharma body. The pure Dharma body, it neither increases nor decreases. It can be large or small, round or square, appears like mirage, like image of the moon water, but functions infinitely without limitation. Neither need be established a root, neither be established doing, nor in non-doing. To be doing is the function of the non-doing feeling. Non-doing is resting place of doing. Not resting or taking refuge in anything like space, having no place to rest. The meaning of birth, death, of sustenance, of the mind, this. The clear mind, like the bright mirror, reflects all. The mirror, like the mind, reflects all things, all dharma. When attached to objects, being reflected, is being attached to dependent arising on the outside. That is birth and death. But not attached to object, that is the last, anybody? So in the last 2 days, meditated in silence. You walk around in silence, do things in silence. Sure. Watch your mind move object. Watch your mind attached to objects. Attached to objects that your mind made up. There's real things, and then there's things that are made out of real things. Like, it's real, I can touch it. Things made out of real things. Bowl. Is it a bowl? No, it's a bell. It's got a function, right? Things made up of real things. It's a bell. It's a sound. That's a thing that made up of real things. Just this. But then is it really a bell? Pat it on the table, the size of the bowl that I eat, I can eat it out of the bowl. This thing just became a bell. But a bowl can become a bell. Because the bowl we eat, if you knock it a little bit, it has a sound. Oh, so how come it's a bowl and not a bell? These vibrations. No, that's our mind made out of things from real things. We restrict real things to its function. And that's all we see. And this isn't the only thing that the Buddha and Zen saw. Hegel saw that too. Anybody know Hegel? Crazy ass hard philosopher to understand. You might not like him because his philosophy gave the rise to communism. after Karl Marx borrowed from communism. But Hegel philosophy is that things are defined by their function. Like this bell. Function of the bell? Makes sound. But this bell could also be a bowl. Depends on what you look at it. Bell bowl? Wood bowl? Wood bowl? it's going to be. Oh, I know. You know, one of those things that your grandpa mother puts on there, the bed, when we used to have outhouse, yeah. So this thing can have so many different functions. But outside of those functions, it's a thing for us. It's real. We made unreal things out of real things by adding value and function on it and restricting it just that function. So if I knock this, it's called a bell. If I eat out of it, it's called a bowl. Yeah? I put it under my grandma's bed, it's called a pipe. Yes? So we made those unreal things out of real things. So you've watched over the last 2 days how your mind made real things, unreal things out of real things. You just want them. Better. Must be. The smile is real. I don't know about the rest that follows. So the problem with the mind is not with the real thing. It's with the unreal thing that we made from the real thing. So when we see the real thing, we no longer see the real thing. We see the function of real thing, of those things. What can those trees do for me? We reduce real things to mental objects. With function. And that real thing just became dead. Why? Because it has infinite possibility as its on its own. We just reduce it to a problem. And that function depends on how you look at it, as good or bad. Good, sacred, Buddha's book. Rose, grandma's potty. Does this thing care? No. We made all that up. This is how we objectify life. Living things in our midst. When we talk about object, when the Buddhism talk about dharma, object. That's what they mean. In our mind, we don't see the world. We see things we make up from the stuff we see in the world. We reduce a real thing with infinite possibility. Very few. You know, when I go camping, a bowl like this is very useful when you don't have a shovel. Right? There are infinite possibilities waiting to be explored. In the Buddha's hall, it's the sacred bell. Yeah, anytime. It'll be disrespectful. And so, then questions. everything we perceive. Why? Because Zen wants you to see. Practice Zen wants you to see. Infinite possible. The real thing. Not the thing you're taught. Not the thing you're taught to impose on the real thing. Not the thing you've learned. When reality collides with the idea in your head of what is, it's called cognitive dissonance. So people do two things. They double down on their beliefs and deny what's happened. Smiling, no, that happens. It's not just for the clinical. Okay, normal people do that. Right? We all do that. We catch ourselves doing it. We're like, what the heck? If we're lucky, but we have a friend who tells us, come on. A good friend. Calls out our shit and goes, what the hell are you doing? Right? Or what they do, they change the belief to a new belief. They discard the old belief. And they adopt a new one. But what happens to the new one? With time, it becomes old ones. And you have new experience. And if that new experience collides with the old one, but the newer old one, a person who's open to learning would discard that one too and pick up the newer one. Newer of the newer one. Right? And that's the more progressive of human beings. But with the Zen practice, you're going to find something a little more interesting. It's a space of nobility. A space of completely open. Yeah, I just had this experience. That one passed. I discarded that one. It's like present. And now I adopted new belief because of this present. That present is in the past, and I encounter another present. And that present, I can fly with my newer belief. But in Zen, when we don't adopt another belief, what happens? There's no conflict. Whatever the present unfolds, you're like, oh. That's a very different place. That's what happens. I know many of you have insights in practice. And the insights open up things like, oh wow. Wow. It just untangles and unchains all that conditioning in yourself and unbook everything. Therefore you're adopting a new word. Okay? Because when you're adopting a newer belief, that just becomes what? Another mental object projected onto the world. So the Buddha says, in Nibbana, there's no object. There's no goal, because the goal is what? Something you project onto the world, right? Destination, which is completely an idea in your mind. expectation. Whatever you call it, it's desire. And in Nirvana, there's no goal, no destination. There's no label. So there's no projection. There's no newer beliefs that you just adopt. What happening is just happening. That mechanism still works. Sorry, you're not going to be free of it. Pretty useful. Just be aware that it's doing that. It's not just your mom in the night nagging. So when something's mumbling in the next room, you're like, oh, that's mom nagging. No? That's you projecting. It's not just that. It could be anything. Anything and everything. So why we strive and we emphasize Kensho so much in Zen is because that's your first taste of Nirvana. That reminds me so much of that rock band. So I use the word Nirvana. Then you Google Nirvana rock band. So. No belief. As long as you're noticing the mechanism is happening, see it, be aware of it, you are free of it. It's when you're not aware of it, it completely has you. I hope in the last 2 days, in silence, interacting, working together. One thing to be in the kitchen with someone, there's another whole new ballgame in the kitchen with everyone, suddenly everyone's like my mom. Process. It projects even harder. Yeah? Mind's so used to the language. No language. What happened? All the pattern comes up. So in the Yogacara, Buddhist psychology, there's a big misunderstanding. West, a lot of people get and don't understand it at all. That the professor, the Buddhist psychology of the Yogacara, the unconscious, is idealism. That there is no external world, everything mind only. That's the name, mind only. Wrong translation, I think. It's took this knowing. So it's supposed to be translated as knowing only. And when we say the word mind, psyche, right? Which part? now you understand what I mean, right? Now that you meditate and you see all that parts of your mind, which part? In the Yogacara, they divide it to 51 parts. Because you don't need to go into all that labeling. But mind only. No, it's not mind only. Hook means to know. Right? So if you speak in Cantonese, tough is sick. That means it's tough. Cantonese is sick. Or is me, sick, no. Me is you. I know you. So your material is supposed to be translated knowing only. Not mine only. But what is knowing only? Buddha nature. Buddha nature knows of everything. Knows without limitation. So where do they come up with the idea that it's idealism, that the real world out there can't be known, everything is known mind? Well, misunderstand. Not right. Yes, when you're deluded, when you're no longer, when you're not liberated, when you're not free, only know the world through mental objects that you made from the real thing. Does that make sense? Like this thing just become a bell or a bowl or my grandma's potty. Right? So you only know objects, the real thing, through things that are made in mind. You don't really know what it is. And that's what Buddha psychology means. That only know through the mind. You don't really know what is out there. You don't really know the objective world. Because everything is subjective. Everything is subjective according to your condition. And some conditioning are shared. Like if you come from the United States, you have a shared condition, gun culture, right? Identity, gun culture, independent. Canada, we have a shared conditioning called tall salad. More appreciative of differences. So those are shared conditions. Saskatchewan has rough ride. Right? Shared conditioning. Everybody wants to. People who grow up and live here in Saskatchewan, you say you hear rough riders inside of you. It's called shared conditioning, right? So, if somebody from BC comes here, rough rider, what? It doesn't have no response. So, through the psychology, there's unique individual conditioning mixed with the shared conditioning that shared. And that's how you see the world. A Buddhist would see this as a sacred bell, meditation bell. The Pure Land Buddhists don't see this as meditation bell because they don't meditate. Right? It's ceremonial bell. And Rico prefer to eat out of it. Right? This is one thing. See so many different ways. Experience, people's minds. So we don't really see the world. Because when we look at this, infinite possibility. We don't see it for what it is. See it for its function. We reduce everything and everyone into but infinite possibility motto box. And that's what the yoga chair is by. Mind only. Cannot see reality. Object reality. Not that it doesn't exist. For full awakening. You get a glimpse of it at 10 show. 2 minutes. If you're lucky, 2 hours. If you're unlucky, 1 second. Where the mind no longer labels. It's got no goal. What else? And everything. 3 days. That's when you feel there. So, first, before we get there, by the way, there's no there. It's not in there. We have to really learn this mess that we're in first. The mess that we're seeing the world, we're seeing projecting forward out to the world, and think that is the world. We walk around believing that that is the world, but it's not the world, it's our mind. And the Yogacara is designed to help you see this mess. Okay, this is how the mess is like. You see through your 5 consciousness, your 5 physical senses, plus physical senses, plus, that's just the sort of like machinery, plus the knowing nature which flows through it. Allow you to perceive the senses from outside. And then, what happens? See? Thought. Thought. So, it's this, it's that. Starts labeling. And then, the manas, which is the ego. Operating the base. Different from me. What can you do for me? That's a function. Right? It's not the thing in itself, it's what can this thing do for me? It's always like that, right? That's in you. And then there's the basement storage. Storage absolutely everything. So the Yogacara, Buddhist psychology, says see the world through this method. You experience the world through this method. Knowing is 5 senses, filtered the thoughts and perception of self and story. Waiting for another trigger, and then whatever is stored is projected out. Playing old tape. And so kids don't have a lot stored. So they're just learning new stuff, absorbing really fast. Well, they have stuff stored. I don't know, according to the terror, previous life, but they can't, some access it, some can't. Some stuff. So they're always walking around. What's this? What's that? As soon as you teach them, this is for this. Things just die. As a person. the state just died. Because it became function. Not just function, one way of function. There's many functions you can find for this thing, but one way. So a lot of these things sometimes are really old conditioning that passed on to kids. Works for that time. Probably won't work for this. Like one day I asked my mom, what about, I didn't want to go to the bank, right? Close. So I said, do you have cash at home? So she goes, yeah. I said, give me $200, borrow phone, $200. So that's from the ATM, give it to you later. Just, my grandma, never go. Even if it's your house, don't get it. And I said, of course, because you lived in a war, you were grown up in the war. It's bad enough that you got burglars because people were starving and things were scarce. You got the communists coming around at night. And in the daytime, you got the American soldiers and, you know, the allies. Because they generally don't do daylight robbery. Do sometimes, but generally not in a peaceful area. Of course, that's why you don't go and grab your cash at night where you're hiding it, you know, maybe under the floors or something like that. People are afraid of the chances that the cash would be, I don't know, where they stash it, and then that's it. There goes your cash. But my mom had no idea where this came from. She just knows. She just has this belief and this conditioning that. Right? So that's old stuff that was very useful back then. And stored, not so much in useful in Canada. See? So. Conditioning is such that it's useful for that time for survival, might not be useful for now. And so if we're not aware of our conditioning, the old stuff that helps us survive, or our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents in that fact, you know, like my mom, you know, her grandma, that stuff. So we carry enough, a lot of conditioning from our own past or previous generation passed down to us. Thank ancestor. That's not useful. But our storehouse consciousness is trying to be helpful. Hey, this or that. Always spewing up stuff, projecting onto reality, stuff that no longer. And that's why here we're here to practice, be present. See what's coming up? Is that useful or is that not? You cannot tell unless you're mindful and you're aware that's happening. So why is it that Zen, that's very occupied with emptiness, with nirvana, is using the Yogacara to aid its practice? Why? When the Yogacara is talking about Dharma, things, whereas Nibbana, there's no thing. Well, to get to know things, you have to get to know your things first. Right? And how to understand those things first. Transform those things, then you get to know things. So many people do not have that full understanding. They think Paktuntam is called Yogacara. It means Dharma manifestation way. That means there's things, right? But in Zen, we're trying to get to know things. I'm dual and no science. What's the relationship? Well, like Dogen said, to study Zen is to study the mind. To study the mind is to be free of the mind. So first, we have to study our mind, see what it's doing. Because I can promise you, it's always up to the good. So, when you're here, in silence, with other people, in practice, mind has a problem. Language for everything. Suddenly, you're left with no clue, no language. Right? Not used to that. So what would it do? Right. So watch your thoughts. Whatever you're projecting onto the blank slate that is around you. Or in silence. Smiling. Watch what your mind is doing. Because without understanding what your mind is doing, you can't be free of it. So why is the yoga kara called knowing only? Because without Buddha nature, nothing can be known. All the senses, all these mind factors, eight guys, they cannot function without Buddha. Remember? Ear plus know, hearing. Knowing nature flows all of that. So, before you go back to the source, knowing, you gotta parse out which is a thing, the skin, parse out which is a function of the thing that you're seeing, right? You're not just seeing the thing, you're seeing the function of the thing, a mental object. Idea of what you have about them. You have to be able to see that arise and fall in order to truly understand how you've been looking at the world. You're not looking at the world, you're looking at the whole movie you're projecting out into the world. That's according to the yoga chart. That's what you're looking at. This whole movie reruns. Mostly. Sometimes it's so, this is the purpose of noble silence. This is the purpose. Then retreat, noble silence. It's the same, there's a lot of stuff to watch when you're on the cushion, just wait until you get off and you're not, nobody's talking. Right? You see it. And let's just watch the movie. See how judge your bird fly by? Oh, bird fly, is that right? Full speed? You just label right there, right? Mine just went, oh, bird fly, full speed? And what next? What comes next? Grab a picture of it. Watch what your mind is doing. Don't respond to it. Watch what it's doing. To understand how it works. And when you truly understand how it works, you can be free of it. Great reflective mirror. Just reflecting exactly what it is. even all the functioning of the mind and the outside. So when you see the functioning of your mind inside, you're going, that's just my mind. See the outside without the labels? Don't make it that. Last Dharma talk for the next 5 days. So, that's the pointer. By the way, don't get tempted to go. Did the mind just do that? Sober? Hey! What happened? I should be judging. That's another trip.
This podcast is created by members of the Clearway Zen Sangha. If you enjoyed the talk and wish to show support, donation information can be found on our website, www.clearwayzen.ca. Thank you for listening.